Here I get to talk to people, and no matter how many will listen, I speak anyway. Sometimes there's 20 in the room, and there's two listening, and I talk anyway, so I'm just happy that there's more than three of you, so praise the Lord. I'll pray here in a second, but I like to, in my life, make all of the mistakes on, like, personally, so then I can then share them with other people so that they don't have to make them. I wish that were something I intended to do. It's just how God made me, or at least how my dad says Polacks are. So here we are. So I'm going to talk to you for a little bit, and I would love to hear some things from you about decision making. By God's grace, I now make decisions better than I have in the past, and that's through no, like, deserving of my own. For instance, let's give a for instance. I think we were married at the time. We stayed with my in-laws for 5 days up here, traveling from where I was going to school, and it was a holiday. Both our families live in town, and we decided on the drive home to that we never wanted to live here, because for 5 days we stayed with the in-laws and it didn't go well. We didn't think, oh, well, we wouldn't be living with them while we were here, or we wouldn't have to see them every day. But because we saw them for 5 days in a row, we got caught up in the moment and said, never again. We will visit, and we can only deal with this once or twice a year. And that actually happened, and we were down in St. Louis for 10 years, and now we're back. So it's not that God didn't use it, it's just that it was a terrible way to make a decision. We also love our parents a little bit more and a little bit better than we did back then. Odds are, you have a decision coming up. That isn't, what should I wear tomorrow? I know that decision is very important for the females in the room. Hopefully it's not as important for the men in the room.
That's why I'm sure. Yeah. Maybe not wear upside down shirts.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Maybe not. Right? But at least I know Nathan, because he wears the same shirt every time he gets a chance, isn't worried about what he wears. So praise the Lord for that. But you have a big decision coming up. I don't know what it is, but the Lord does. And maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's the next week, or the next month, or the next year. So I'm about to pray, so think of it. You can write it down. There's a packet thing. There's one page, and all it says at the top is notes. It's a good place to put it. And then I'd love to hear what some of those decisions are. So, Lord in heaven, you encouraged, I think it was Elijah, that there were 7,000 Israelites who had yet to bow the knee to Baal. Lord, and as we have decided to come here on a weekend in October to hear the preaching of your word, in a relatively large town, and the seats were relatively not as full as they could have been. We thank you for those who did come, and I thank you for those who are in this room. Lord, would the things I say make some sort of difference, not because I said them, but because you've said them, and your spirit can work through them. Be with us in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, big decisions. Anyone have one, please? Yes.
Not in the future, but a few days ago, we had a very big decision on buying a house.
Did you? And you made it, or you?
Yeah, we made a decision. Yeah.
Great.
I don't know if you want any more details. You did that far.
Are you trying to use my own words against me? I have.
No, I'm following your commands.
There's a lot in here about, well, commands. So, wonderful. Any other big decisions, even from the back? No? Well, thank you, Nathan, for sharing. Joshua, do you have any big decisions?
Well, I'd say the whole, I'm going to say the vaccination, I've chosen not to receive it.
Yep.
And I work for the Memorial Health System.
Yep.
And they push it like no other.
Yep.
And I feel like I'm like alone.
Yep.
But I'm going to continue to be alone because I feel like that's what God is calling me to have.
Sure.
And I'm using my rejection of the vaccine as a way to prove that I'm not going to be some guinea pig for some world, this society.
Yep.
But I'm going to be God's pupil, His disciple.
Amen. One more?
I have a job interview one day, and it's kind of a decision. It's in the career I want to be in and working on or working towards, but it's, you know, dropping pay, which, you know, I just started this current job at the hospital, switch floors and meet new people, you know, it's just a whole new big decision.
Yeah. Well, I have four points. They're not my points. They're this guy's points. Gary Friesen, Decision Making and the Will of God. There's about 100 books on decision making. This is just the one I read first, and I had more time back then. So I would recommend a different book that's a lot smaller for you. I don't know. But instead, you're listening to this, so here goes. Here's the book in a nutshell. There are four steps, if you will. One, very simple, very obvious. Where God commands, we must obey. Where God commands, we must obey. You would be surprised at how many decisions you have in your life where God has actually spoken to what that decision is. And if we do not acknowledge what He has said, that's a shame. To illustrate all of these, I'll give some Bible verses and then a recent decision I made and talk you through how that went. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, Moses writes, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." God intends for us to keep His commandments. He intends His commandments to be loving. Out of love for Him, we keep His commandments, and He is loving towards us to give us those commandments because He made us. He knows what we need. Jesus reiterates this in John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, newsflash, you're going to fail and fall flat on your face eventually in your pursuit of keeping God's commands. That will happen. And fortunately, God speaks to that as well. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So if you completely flop on a decision like we did moving down to St. Louis, instead of being up here with our non-Christian, both sides, still married parents in the same town, they used to live on the same block. We could have had much more influence over those 10 years. Well, in God's providence, we were able to reverse that, even though it took a really long time. So, where God commands, we must obey. In my own life, last school year, I speak in school years, I was a teacher. I took a job teaching at a local middle school, public middle school, mind you, and I took the job to move up here. We wanted to be around our parents, like I was saying earlier, and I needed a paycheck. we know the superintendent. She said, sure, we'll give you a job. I also had it based on merit because three schools wanted me. So we were, okay. So fortunately, the Lord was providing there. Throughout the course of the year, starting around Christmas time through the end of the school year, I had six female students who wanted me to pretend that they were male students. They each found their own different way to let me know that they were no longer a girl and they wanted to be a boy instead. Well, where God commands, I must obey. God, in the Ten Commandments, says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, my very young, very feminine neighbors wanted me to pretend that they weren't. So I knew that I couldn't lie to them and lead them on to believe that they were boys. I would not use the he, him pronouns for she, her people. And personally, I wouldn't use their chosen name. Now, I know some people come down on different sides about the name situation. That's just my conviction. And so, that was my situation. I was literally dancing around pronouns. I was calling on a lot of yous and finding creative ways to not broach the subject. Step two, where there is no command. Okay, so the idea is that God commands some things and we must obey them. And now we are getting into the gray area. Okay, there is no, there is nowhere in scripture where it says that you have to buy a house or you have to take a job or you have to get a vaccine. It doesn't, those words aren't in here. So where there is no command, God gives us the freedom and responsibility to choose. God gives us the freedom and responsibility to choose. A couple illustrations in scripture from this. Genesis 2 and 3, Adam and Eve in the garden. God told Adam he could eat of one, he could eat of any tree except the one. From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it you will surely die. Adam and Eve could have pears, apples, pomegranates, pineapples, whatever fruit they wanted. Any tree, except the one. So there was a command associated with what they shouldn't do, but then they were free to choose any of the others. They had the responsibility to keep feeding themselves, and they were perfect, so they knew how to do that. And if they didn't, they wouldn't die, but I'm not getting into the philosophical implications of all of those things. Also, Adam was told to name the animals. He had the freedom to name them whatever he wanted. He had the responsibility as God's, the head of God's creation, to exercise dominion by naming the animals. Genesis 2:19, whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. So God had given Adam the freedom to choose what to name the animals. This next one, in the New Testament, from Philemon. Some people pronounce it Philemon. I heard D.A. Carson say Philemon one time and it sounded better. So that was it. So Philemon is a short, very controversial letter in the New Testament because Philemon is a slave master. Onesimus was a runaway slave. Paul meets Onesimus as he was running away. Paul, as he often did, preached the gospel to people. Onesimus becomes a Christian. Paul sends word back to Philemon through Onesimus, the book of Philemon that's in our Bible. This is verse 8 through 14. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you. Paul could, as an apostle, command Philemon to release Onesimus. Since I am such a person as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person. That is sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. So Paul sends back the runaway slave, who is now saved, and gives the slave master the choice. He has the responsibility to choose, am I going to let the slave go or continue to keep the slave? But Paul did not mandate it. He gave the freedom. We have the responsibility and freedom to choose. In my own life, God did not command me to be a teacher in the public school system. I didn't have to be doing what I was doing. Now, I did sign a contract, I think kind of, that said I would work until May, the end of May. And so I was bound by my word, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no, as a Christian. But after the contract was up, I did not have to stay. So I had the freedom to choose to stay at that middle school or go to a different school or get out of teaching altogether. I had to choose whether I would be a public school teacher for 36 more years. Shudder to think. And then retire. It couldn't have been 35 more years because all of my retirement money would go into a pot that wasn't mine and I couldn't touch it until I retired. And so it wasn't a choice for 35, it had to be 36 years. Maybe I would get out of education. I talked to an electrician. I talked to a buddy who's thinking about starting a school in town. I talked to a lot of different people. What would I do? Could I move out of the state and find a job in public education there? No, we wanted to be here. So I had the freedom to choose what to do after the school year was over. I had the responsibility to provide for my family. There wasn't a choice to not do that because God commands it. Number three, step three, if you will, where there is no command, God gives us the wisdom to choose. God gives us the wisdom to choose. All of Scripture gives great examples of good decisions made by godly saints down through the ages. It also gives some very bad examples. Obviously, it doesn't uphold those people, but we see a lot of sin happening in Scripture as well. So we see not only God telling us what to do and what not to do, but showing us what to do and what not to do. That's one way God gives us wisdom. Also, there's wisdom literature. That's how Ian Wright would say it, at least. Wisdom literature, so that we can apply scriptural truths to our situations. Proverbs is a good one. Psalms has some. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. God gives us wisdom through his word. It doesn't necessarily apply, or it doesn't necessarily say the word vaccine, but there are some things we can go to consider whether to get it. It doesn't say hospital, I don't believe. I don't think so. But when deciding what job to take or what house to buy. Houses were certainly different back then than they are now. We are commanded to be wise. And if we are commanded to be wise in Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. If we are commanded to be wise, Would not God give us the means to fulfill the command? He has put his indwelling Holy Spirit in us, those of us who are Christians. Also in James, we are told to ask for wisdom. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we should ask for wisdom. We look for wisdom in Scripture because we're commanded to. We also ask for it. Another place to look for wisdom is counselors. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22. God intends our lives as Christians to be lived in community. And one of the blessings of a church like this, maybe your churches like this, is that there are older saints. Our last church didn't have so many older saints. One of the older saints in this church, her husband sued the teachers' unions. And I was just so very excited that I knew someone who would stand up to them. He didn't want his due money being used to support abortion and Planned Parenthood, and so he sued them for his dues that he had paid for the last 20 years. And he won. It's pretty awesome. So, how did I seek wisdom for my decision to leave the public schools? The scriptures that were relevant to my situation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. I was a science teacher. I was told that I had to teach about God's creation, because that's what science studies. But I was told that I couldn't talk about God. How? Doesn't work very, very well. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, I didn't write these down. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools devise wisdom and instruction. So I was meant to impart knowledge to other people without imparting the fear of the Lord. Again, contradiction with what I personally needed to do. Ephesians 6 says that we are to raise our children in the discipline and admonition or instruction of the Lord. I could discipline students by keeping them after class or punishing them, so long as I obviously didn't hit them. I could instruct them, but I could do neither of those two things in the Lord. So Scripture, while it doesn't say the words public school or even school in Scripture, did speak to my situation. We prayed also. We asked for wisdom. My wife prayed. Sally at church prayed a lot. I prayed too, for the record. Church put it in the prayer list, and we went to God to see, or to ask that He would give me and my wife the wisdom to decide what to do. We also sought counsel. We called friends who we hadn't spoken to in a while because they had been in our lives for so long before we moved here. We called friends who were new in our life. I talked to other teachers in the district. I talked to other teachers at my last school. It was a Christian school. We talked to our pastors, all three at the time, and sought their counsel. What would you do in my situation? Fortunately, God has given us people who, especially pastors, they have not only made their own mistakes, and they not only know God's word probably better than we do, but they hear from all different people in the congregation, and they know how God worked in their life, and they can conglomerate all of that and help. I also started a tutoring business because I did not know how God would provide. I was free to start a tutoring business. That's pretty much all I'm qualified to do outside of teaching. So I tried that. Start an LLC, make a website. It's hard to start your own business, but I highly recommend it. I ran an advertisement on a podcast we listen to called Cross Politic. Also, I started putting myself out there and mentioning to people. I think Darren at church, he's an engineer. Looking for a job, Darren, if you know anybody. I put on LinkedIn that I was hashtag open to work. I think on Facebook, I said, public schools are a dead end for me. Let me know if you know anyone who needs someone who's honest and hardworking. I did not know where God was going to provide. I knew that I wasn't commanded to be in public schools, but that I was commanded to provide for my family. So I cast a wide net. Pastor Daniel and I were talking on the phone during this time, and he agreed, given my circumstances, that the public schools, at least in town, were a dead end. And so I resigned. Not effective immediately, because I wanted to fulfill my contract, but by the end of the year. And part of that decision was that I would know when I would stop getting a paycheck. If I continued going on and a student cornered me and made, you know, like you hear about in the news, call me a boy, and I just wouldn't do it. That didn't happen to me, but it's happened before. Then I might be out on the street the next day and I wouldn't have work. And so if I knew, okay, I get paid through August and it's currently April, that was 4 months. A lot of people get fewer than 4 months to find a new job. And so I put in for resignation. I didn't have a job set up. I just knew that the public schools weren't going to work for me. Step number four, the final step in the decision-making process. When we have chosen what is moral and wise. So we went through all those three things. We've considered it all. We've sought counsel. We've read the scriptures. When we've chosen what we believe is wise and what God says is moral, we must trust the sovereign God to work all the details together for good. We must trust the sovereign God to work all the details together for good. You've heard this verse a few times today, I think. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things, even the bad decisions I've made in the past, were caused by God to work together for my good. But if even the bad things, certainly the good decisions as well. So one of the things that this decision-making process is not saying is that we have to hear God's voice to tell us what decision to make, or that we have to have a really strong and good feeling about the decisions we make. Our feelings and our heart cannot be trusted. And so I know when I was younger, all I wanted to hear, when I decided not to be a dentist, all I wanted to hear was God's audible voice tell me, go do something else. I'd never heard that voice. And He worked it together for good. And so we do have freedom to choose. If it's moral, if it's wise, and there's six other choices out there, choose the one you want. Okay? If you know for sure that is not against God's commands, and you know and have sought counsel that these six decisions are wise, you just know that those six aren't, then you have the freedom to choose one of those. It's as inconsequential as what you eat that day, or what house you buy, and as big as what career you have or who you should marry. So we trusted the Lord to provide. I did resign after not having and having no job set up. And he did do that. First, I took a job down in Edwardsville. I used to go there. That's where I went to college. An old friend, who's actually a staunch atheist, was teaching me how to do data visualization on computers. So I had to learn how to use Excel, and now I'm really good at it. I don't really use it anymore, but I got good at it. I did that 2 days a week. It was a bit of a sacrifice, but I didn't know where God was going to provide. So my wife and my kids missed me for pretty much 2 full days every week over the summer. Also, the last week of school, I had this small, feminine 7th grader come up to me after class and tell me that she was trans. I was going to just go out. It was all going to be fine. I was just going to resign and it'd be done. And then God puts this, you know, another one, the youngest one yet. Really good student. You know, I gave out like 2 A's. I'm not that hard of a teacher, but I gave out 2 A's, and she was one of them. And this girl, she's coming up after and saying that she was trans. And I said, well, what does that mean to you? And she says, well, it means I want to be a boy. And she said it with, you know, like a feminine voice, like a 13-year-old girl has. And so I decided that I had to say something. So I spoke with the school board, like so many people are doing nowadays. It's the fetch thing to do. And tried to show the board that you shouldn't be allowed to live as a boy at school and a girl at home, because the school was aiding and abetting transgendered people and not telling their parents that this is a decision or a road that they were going down. So I tried to say that. I had no job lined up for the fall. I got paid through August, though. I was working down in Edwardsville. I was spending a lot of time with something called Microsoft Power BI. I know it sounds exciting. You can tell on your faces. In July, I had someone reach out on my website. I ran an ad in March, right? I heard from one person, and it took 4 months. Only one, $500, one person, right? I had a lot of people visit the website. I may have been charging too much, but it was also so late in the game. But I hear from one person in the middle of July. And finally, on the second session with her, I get around to asking her, hey, are you homeschooled? Do you go to school? What? She says, oh, yeah, I go to Veritas Scholars Academy. It's an online Christian classical school. You know, it's all online. I said, really? Are they hiring? That sounds pretty nice. And so I finished the session. I'm sure it went fine. I just don't remember anything about it because I was focusing on, okay, don't forget Veritas. So I go online. I find the website. They're hiring. I apply. 15 minutes later, I hear back, hey, your application looks pretty good. Let's talk tomorrow. Yep, sounds great. Filled out a bunch of paperwork. Had a second interview. And by the next time I had a tutoring session with Sabrina, I was able to tell her, hey, I'll be teaching at your school next year. It's pretty amazing. Now, the school that I'm now teaching for, I only teach 4 days a week, and they actually don't make enough money to provide for the house that we live in. But I still had a tutoring business, and I still had a website. And the Lord sent some people in town that live by the lake, and she reached out to me and said, hey, we're looking for a math and science tutor for 9 to 12 hours a week. I'm like, well, usually it's just 1 hour a week, but 9 to 12, sure. it's down to 6 now that school has started, and they have dance pretty much every night of the week. So I get some more money that way. And then someone reached out on the website again to tutor at Springfield Christian in town. So the Lord has provided, through a very weird means, all of the money we need. But I don't make much, and my phone really doesn't work, and it is what it is. You know, it's not like I'm, because, I mean, they were just like for hours preaching against the health and wealth gospel. But I have a psalm verse from Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. So no, we don't make a ton of money, and I don't have a private jet. I wouldn't mind an RV if you know anyone. But the Lord has promised to provide. Now that's going to look different for different people. The Lord might have chosen to provide by not providing a job for me, and we would have had to go into contingency plan number 16. Which was to take all the money in our savings, finish the basement, sell the house for profit, and live off that until I found a job. Like, you go down the list, there were plans. Fortunately, we were able to stay, and that's great. Right now, the Lord is providing for a whole host of people in all sorts of different ways, and it's really exciting to see. I just talked to someone this week who is in a similar boat as Joshua, who won't take the vaccine. And he's on unpaid leave from the district that I was working at. So this all, it's just setting in that it really could have happened, that I could have not known when I got my last paycheck. But Pastor Daniel's counsel, since I sought it out, I was able to avoid that. Now, I didn't deserve any of this. It was all sheer grace from the Lord. And the prayers of the righteous avail much. And there are a lot of righteous saints in this church, and they actually do pray. But our temporary provisions point forward to an ultimate provision. And so, yes, I have food to feed my family, and we have an extra 30 pounds of rice just in case. But all of these temporary provisions point toward the provision that we have for our own souls for all of eternity. And so while we're just talking about the cost of discipleship this weekend, and that means that you actually have to lay down all of your decisions at Jesus' feet as well, and God promises to provide at least food for us to eat. For those who love him. Also, he provides the bread come down from heaven. He provides the bread of life. He provides the light of the world for eternity. And so hopefully my story has been at least a little encouraging. Hopefully you will have an encouraging story of your own someday. But none of these material blessings that we have compare to the eternal blessing in Christ. And how much easier is it to trust him with our smaller decisions when we know that the ultimate decision, if we can call it that, has been made for us. So as I pray, consider if you know enough scripture to make wise decisions and who you would turn to for counsel for decisions you've made or have coming up. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, thank you that your word is sufficient. Sufficient for us to know what to do, sufficient for encouragement, sufficient for our lives, for all of life and godliness. Would we seek good counsel? not only from your scriptures, but also from the people we know and the friends we love. And Lord, we thank you that you have promised to provide, and you will, that you have promised eternal security in Christ, and you will provide. Be with us as we finish out, whatever that looks like, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know. This is my first conference. How this goes? If we're done. Does anyone want to ask any questions? I'm told I can take questions. Not that I have all the answers or anything, but if you had a question, I did read the whole book, so we can just speed up. Oh yes, yes, ma'am. The beautiful one in the back. Was it really? There you go. God gives birthday presents. Don't tell the Jehovah's Witnesses. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks so much. God bless you.